Well, good morning. We take a break from the series we've been doing on the Sermon on the Mount. It's school holiday time, so everything's got to stop. But this morning, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine whose name is Tevye. This will take you back to 1971 to the movie Fiddler on the Roof. If they hit the right button.
A fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
And then he goes in to sing, If I Were a Rich Man, which would have been good for David's sermon last week, but we're not doing that today. Tevye starts off that whole film just talking to God. It's actually a Jewish custom. The movie was actually set in the 1900s, and things haven't changed a whole lot for a whole lot of people. Tevye has this amazing ability to have a conversation back and forth with God. All through the movie, he has these sort of conversations, and as you know the song, you know, why did you not make me a rich man? You know, you made so many, and he goes on. He understands what he's doing. It's actually an old Jewish practice that dates from probably before the time of Jesus and possibly a few hundred years before. And this is a practice that can help us fulfill what I think is the most ignored commandment in the Bible. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. That's how the New Living Translation puts it. The King James says, pray without ceasing. In the NIV, the nearly infallible version, pray continually. Now, how many of you can honestly say this week you have never stopped praying? You've prayed without ceasing. You've prayed continually. Would you put up your hand if you've made it? See, that's what I mean. It's the least obeyed command in all of Scripture, in my opinion. I'd like to suggest that Tevye's way of doing it, the Jewish custom is practicing God's presence by talking with God, by blessing God, is a way to never stop praying. In Psalm 103, verse 1, this is what's written. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does that actually mean? What is it to bless? Well, English is a crazy language. To bless is to wish good fortune or bestow favour on someone. To make happy. In the New Testament we have the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who, happy are those who. When someone sneezes, we usually say something like, bless you. What do we mean by that? Well, we're hoping it's nothing too bad, like COVID or anything like that. But in English, because English is such a broad language and hard to get a grip on, it can also mean to call holy, adore, revered, or consecrate. So when we bless God, we're not wishing him happiness. He's not about to sneeze. When we bless God, it's not to bestow favour on him. He's a God in need of nothing. But rather, when we say bless God, we're picking up the meaning in English is to call him holy or adored, or to thank him. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 10, both the Amplified, the NASB and the King James all say bless. You shall bless the Lord. The NIV and the NLT says praise. But it doesn't matter whatever word you want to use there. When we talk about blessing, we're talking really about thanks. The Hebrew word for blessing is quite a difficult one. It actually is berakah or brakah. Now, Jewish people had a blessing for just about everything. My Irish relatives would say, we want to get it right, we want to be sure, we'll do it. And they'd say it twice. But in Hebrew, they didn't. They just said it almost continually. Later in the movie, Tevye asks the rabbi of the village, is there a blessing for a sewing machine? The rabbi replies, there is a blessing for everything. And that's the rich tradition of blessing. Jewish life was saturated with prayers of thanksgiving. This little habit can actually transform our sense of God's presence in everyday life. Around the time of Jesus, you would wake up to the rooster's crow, and the prayer from their prayer book would be, blessed is he who has given the rooster understanding to distinguish between night and day. Now, I've got to admit, I had never thought of it like that before. I mean, have you ever begun your day by thanking God for an alarm clock? Probably not. The Jewish people would say as they wake up, and again from their prayer book, blessed is he who opens the eyes of the blind. As soon as you wake up, if you're like me, you head for the bathroom. Believe it or not, there's a blessing said after visiting the toilet. It comes from around 400 AD. Gee, it took some research to pick that up. Now, how often have you thanked God for your body working well to deposit whatever you go to the loo for? There is a really good book called Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. It's by a Jewish Christian, Lois Ferberg. And this is what she says. Nowadays, the ancient blessing said upon awakening are prayed during the morning prayer service. The very first word on the lips of Jews are these. I'm grateful before you, living and eternal King, for returning my soul to me with compassion. You are faithful beyond measure. What a beautiful way to start every day. I mean, my prayer first thing in the morning is something like this. Look, God, so far I've done everything right. I haven't gossiped. I've held my tongue, kept my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed and I need a lot of help. Just walking around outdoors shows you many opportunities for blessing, for thanking God. You can see flowers budding on the fruit trees each spring. And you could say a Jewish prayer like, blessed is he who did not omit anything from the world and created within it good vegetation and trees for people to enjoy. That doesn't even take dogs into consideration. They love trees. And then after winter, who isn't happy when you see all the trees budding or the flowers budding and starting to bloom? They're tremendous signs of a new life. And we should be thankful to God for that too. You can bless God when you stand at an ocean shore and watch wave after wave roll in, which we can do so easily here. You can thank God when you see an especially lovely or meet an especially lovely person, either their appearance or their manner and words. You can utter a word of praise when you're reunited with an old friend that you haven't seen for a long time. When you cut open a ripe passion fruit and you get its sweet smell and taste on your lips, you praise God. And again, you could pick up a Jewish prayer and say something like, "Blessed is he who has given us such things to enjoy." Even in times of grief, when someone dies or upon hearing tragic news, Jewish people bless God saying, "Blessed is he who is the true judge." Such a prayer is actually to remind them that no matter how grievous their ills, God is still good, and he will ultimately bring justice, righting the wrongs of this world. Why do Jews practice this so much? Well, I've said it's part of their prayer book, the Shema. It says there that in their prayer book, we are to love God with all our hearts. To the rabbis, this meant not merely loving God with that part of our heart that's happy, which is what we tend to do. When we're happy, we can be thankful. But even with the angry, sad, mourning part of our heart as well. It actually sounds like part of the New Testament. Mark 12:30, Jesus spoke and said, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." So if we're to follow the Jewish custom of having a prayer of thanks or blessing, we'd line up well with what Paul writes in Ephesians 5:20. Paul writes this, "And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Did you notice he says, "Give thanks for everything"? You know, some of the things that happen, well, I'm not quite sure that I like it. I mean, I often use the word blessed in a different way. I go out to the car and the battery's flat. Blessed car! Well, that's not the idea of blessing. It's a distortion of the English word. If we took up the idea of blessing God, thanking God for any and everything, then we'd be in line with what Paul also wrote to the Colossian Christians. And he said this in 3:17 of Colossians, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And to go back to what was read this morning in 1 Thessalonians, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Prayer is important. Prayer is talking with God. And praying about everything is important because, again, it's mentioned in Philippians 4. Paul says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." When my daughter Catherine was a teenager, she subscribed to a teenager pop magazine. I can't even remember what it was called. But there was a competition in the magazine. You could write in, fill in a coupon, and if it's drawn out, you'd get a trip to New Orleans to see New Kids on the Block. Yeah, a couple of you remember them, and that's about all it's worth it. But not only that, you not only got to go to the concert, you got to meet the guys as well. Well, Catherine was a New Kids on the Block fan. She loved them. So she said, "I'm entering the competition," which she did. Then she shared with her youth leader, when he said, "Now, what would you like to pray about?" She said, "I'm praying that I'll win the competition." And he unwisely said, "You shouldn't pray about things like that." Catherine, being the feisty young teenager she was, said, "My Bible says, pray about everything." So he reluctantly allowed her to pray about that. She won the competition. And because she was underage, they had to pay for an adult to go with her, and my wife Judith said, "I'm not going to do that." So I got to go with my daughter. We flew all the way to New Orleans, went to the concert, met these people. I can understand why they didn't last. There was a journalist and photographer there taking photos and writing up the story to be published in the next edition of the magazine. And Catherine used to go around saying, "See, pray about everything." At the time, I wasn't quite this thankful. But it taught her something that I think is important that we miss. We do need to be praying about everything. That is, talking with God about everything. "God, you made so many people and a few of them rich. Why not me?" Well, I'm not sure that I want to be a rich man. But I do want to pray about everything. I want to involve God in every area of my life and honor him. And the way to do that is to bless God, to thank him for everything that's going on in my life. I must confess, when Judith died, I didn't feel particularly thankful. But I look back now, and I'm so thankful that Phyllis came into my life, that God worked a miracle and did that. God is interested in every area of our lives. And so prayer is important. Thanking God for everything is important. And as we practice that, we involve God, who's already involved, although we don't recognize it sometimes. We are involved with the very maker of the universe in appreciating what he's giving us, even the difficulties. So praying for everything, don't worry about anything, Paul says. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. When we do that, I would suggest we then experience God's peace, which, as the old King James Version said, passes all understanding. Tevye may just be right. It could be talking to God about everything is just what Paul was getting at in the Thessalonians reading that we had this morning, which is that prayer is talking to God. Never stop praying. Never stop talking to God about it. Some of us have been praying for children and grandchildren and maybe even spouses for years. I would encourage you, keep praying. "But I've been praying for that husband of mine." Keep on praying. I want to finish this morning with a true story. Some of you will have heard of Howard Hendricks, who is a famous Bible teacher and expositor of the Word. And this is his story as he's written it. "The phone rang, and I greeted a young pastor friend from Arlington, Virginia. 'What are you doing?' he asked. 'Studying,' I replied. 'Nothing special.' 'Well, are you sitting down?' 'Yes.' 'Why?' 'Your father just trusted Christ this evening.'
'He what?'
I blurted out. 'You've got to be kidding.' Such an inappropriate response grew out of the long detours in our father-son journey. Ever since I received Christ as a boy, my concern has been for the salvation of my family, my loved ones. On repeated occasions, I'd broached the subject of the gospel with Dad, but his response was less than excited. My father has always been very important to me. Not that I approved everything he said or did, or that I imitated him consciously in any way. We weren't really close friends either, but he was important in my life because of the indirect impact he made upon me. Dad was a military man. He'd seen action around the world. During the periods when he was embroiled in battle, I would become very sensitive to his spiritual need. I and my family prayed for him, but at times, I'm afraid my faith sputtered. His response was always the same. Son, don't worry about me. I'll work it out with God. As if God can be manipulated like that. God brought a man into my life with a passion for men. His name was Butch Hardman. One day, before we knew each other, Butch was boarding a plane in Detroit when a friend handed him a cassette tape. Ever hear Hendrix? Here's a tape you should listen to. On that tape, I related my father's spiritual need. Butch listened, and something about the anecdote reminded him of his own father, whom he'd shared Christ with shortly before he died. He began to pray for this unknown man, George Hendrix. Some months later, after Butch attended a pastor's conference in Philadelphia where I was a speaker, he shook my hand. That was the only time our paths had crossed before a remarkable incident in Arlington. Butch was driving the church bus down the street. Having discharged all his passengers, he saw a man standing on the corner who reminded him uncannily of Howard Hendrix. Could it possibly be? He backed up the bus, stopped, got out, and went over to the man. Are you by any chance Howard Hendrix's father? It's easy to imagine the startled response. I can envision my father's critical once over it with his steely blue eyes. Yeah. Are you a student of his? No, I'm not, but he sure has helped me. Got time for a coffee? That encounter began a friendship skillfully engineered by the Spirit of God. Butch undoubtedly sensed Dad's hesitancy when he discovered he'd met a preacher. For a long time, Butch did not invite him to attend his church. He simply suggested that Dad drop by the office for coffee. Patiently, he endured Dad's cigars and his endless repertoire of war stories. Before long, he also learned that Dad had been diagnosed as having a terminal throat cancer. Months later, Butch was at his bedside. Mr. Hendrix, I'll be leaving shortly for a Holy Land trip. Instead of my listening to you tonight, would you let me tell you a story? Butch had earned his hearing, and he began simply to relate the interview of Jesus Christ with Nicodemus as recorded by John. At the conclusion, Dad accepted Butch's invitation to receive Jesus Christ as his personal saviour. Then Dad got up out of bed, stood and saluted with a smile. Now I'm under a new commander-in-chief. That night, Butch called me in Dallas. The last time I saw Dad alive, I could not believe he was the same man I had known. His frame was wasted, but his spirit was more virile than I had ever known. In accordance with Dad's specific provision in his will, Butch Hardman conducted the crisp military funeral in Arlington Cemetery, where the gospel of Jesus was presented to the small group of family and military attendants. As the guns saluted their final farewell, I knew God had vindicated 42 years of prayer. Never stop praying. Pray at all times, constantly, thanking God and asking him to bring about what will glorify his Son and bring the kingdom to come. Let's pray. God, forgive us that all too often we don't pray. We don't talk with you. We take action and do what we want to do, and sometimes even do what we don't want to do. But help us to bless you, to be happy, because we know you're in control and you're a loving God and you show your care for us in a million ways. Thank you for being the God you are and for allowing us to be part of your kingdom because of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this.